The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Well, good morning again. It's good to see all of you here today. We have an expression around here, or at least I think we have an expression around here, maybe not. But for me, this is something that our church, our fellowship has kind of before us at all times. And it's, what's your next step of faith? I believe, and I'll never forget, as a in the process of coming here, when Kelsey and I were looking at coming here and interviewing and everything like that, they asked me kind of like, what do you feel like your job is? And I said, I feel like my job as a pastor would be this, to encourage people to take their next step of faith. Whatever it may be, that's kind of my goal as a pastor, is to get to take you from wherever you are at least one step further. And one of the things I love so much about my job is getting to see you all take those steps of faith in your life and watching you do things that you didn't think were possible. I was upstairs this morning with the students. By the way, if y'all ever wonder, man, we've got a phenomenal group of students. They're all up there. They're waving at you, and they're waving at you too. You guys just can't see each other. But if you ever get bored, man, go up there and hang out with them one service. I know they would love to see you. But I was just talking with them during the Sunday school hour, and we were talking about how what happens, we were going through the book of James, and what difficult times provide us with is opportunities to express our faith. And as we express our faith, we get to watch God do things. And so it's been a joy to walk with you through and watch God take you on your next step of faith in your life. And so in order to fully capture this, what we're going to talk about this morning is an unlikely expression or an unlikely display of faith from somebody who probably we wouldn't expect to see. And I'm going to be completely, probably more transparent than I should with you today. I usually like to have my Sunday morning sermon done by Wednesday. Now, Miss Sammy, I'm looking for her. I don't see her right now. Miss Bonnie knows this. That doesn't always happen. Sometimes it doesn't go like that. And this week, it didn't happen. I had a lot of stuff going on at the beginning of the week. And what I wanted to have, the sermon notes, I didn't have together on time. And it got to this day, and it got to the next day, and it got to the next day. And all of a sudden, the other night, in the middle of the night, actually like 4 o'clock in the morning, I had a panic attack. Because in my head, it was Sunday morning, and I was like, I never turned in sermon notes. Oh, no, and it wasn't Sunday morning, don't worry. But I had a panic attack, and so I started like earnestly like praying, like, God, I've got to turn in sermon notes. I've got to have sermon notes done. You've got to help me work through this. And so one of the other things I always said I wanted to do is I didn't want to just get up and talk about things. I wanted to talk about things, or if I had a message, it wasn't just something that like I found. It was something that I was personally going through. And so this morning, I want to express to you and I want to share with you that, man, I had a moment in life where I had to hear the very words of this sermon very clearly in my life. Because what I do is I go into panic mode. And so many of you are like me. When things don't happen the way we want them to, I go into panic mode. And I go into panic mode and I try to do everything I can to fix my situation, my circumstances, where I'm finding myself in life. And this story came to me, and as the story came to me and God laid all these different things out for me, it was remarkable because it wasn't just that I was getting ready to share them with you, it's that God was pouring them in my life because I needed to hear and be reminded of these words as well. We're going to be in a familiar story today. It's Daniel chapter 6, if you've got your Bibles or your phones or your notes. And to catch you up on what's going on in Daniel so far, it's this. This is the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Again, a familiar tale we've all heard before, and if you're at all familiar with church, you've probably heard someone preach on this at some point in time. But what happens up until this point is this, is that Daniel is taken into what was Babylon, and then it became the Medo-Persian Empire, and he was put into the service of royalty in this country. As a foreigner, we've been through Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the fiery furnace, and we've gotten to the point where now a new king, Darius, is in charge, and Darius has placed Daniel in charge of an area, and everything that Daniel did succeeded. And so it got the king's attention, it got the emperor's attention, and he started to trust Daniel more and more. Well, that made other people around Daniel really jealous. And so what they did is they went back to the king, and they said, King, listen, we think that you should make a decree or a law that no one can pray or seek anybody other God or attend input or advice or counsel from any other deity other than you, because you are the wisest of all. And they buttered the king up, and he's like, I am pretty wise. I'm going to make that a law. That sounds good. And he stamps it, and he puts it into place. Now, there's a problem with that. Daniel knew that his desire was still to seek God for everything he had in his kingdom. So we pick up in verse number 10, it says this, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows were open towards Jerusalem. Hang on to that point because we're going to come back to that in just a second. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to God, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Now, the very next thing that happens is, Kenny, I don't know where the slide goes next. What's the next slide that you have, man? All right. So, very first thing you and I need to understand is that in order for you and I to have faith, what needs to take place in our life is faith starts from, or deep faith and unexpected, unlikely expressions of deep faith come from habit-forming faith. Now, Daniel's not the focus of our story today. We're going to talk a little bit about Daniel, but what I want you to understand about Daniel is this. Daniel starts by having a habit of being faithful. It's not just when things are going good. It's not when things are going perfect, but habit-forming faith is this. When you're exhausted, when you give out, when you're confused, when you're hurt, when you're scared, or when there are other million other emotions going on, you don't stop looking towards what God can do. Habit-forming faith. And just for a moment, again, this is the start of the story. The unlikely display of faith comes from somebody else in the story. But just put yourself in Daniel's shoes. You've been ripped from your country. You've been put in the service of somebody else. They've already tried to kill three of your friends by throwing them into a fiery furnace. Nothing is going good in your life. And now all of a sudden they make a decree that says, hey, listen, everything you've been doing, you can't do anymore. And Daniel's confused and he's homesick and he's anxious. And there's probably a million different emotions going on in Daniel's life right now. But what he does is interesting. He continues to pray. So in other words, he kind of ignores the decree, and we're going to get to that. But what does he do also? He got down on his knees, and where did he face? Jerusalem. He faced Jerusalem. So what happens, now this is not a commandment, this is not a decree. There's nowhere in the Bible that God tells his people that when they pray, they have to face Jerusalem. That's Muslim culture, that's not Jewish culture, okay? Just because sometimes we get those confused. There's not a law, there's no rule that says he has to face Jerusalem. So why in the world is Daniel falling on his knees facing Jerusalem? Because he wants to go back. That's where he's from. He wants to go back, and so his desire is, God, listen, I'm thanking you. If you go back and you look at that verse, it says he prayed to God, thanking him for what he's done. Daniel's habit-forming faith was even in the midst of all these confusion, all these different emotions, everything that's going on in life, he falls down facing Jerusalem, looking to what God is going to do in his life, confident that God is going to, at one day, take him back home. Confident that God is going to do something remarkable. And so habit-forming faith, it looks like this in our life. Not just when we understand it, not just in the absence of emotions, not just when everything makes sense, and not just to gripe to God. See, a lot of us, we have faith and we go to pray when in these moments, but we go to pray and it's like, God, why are you making me go through this? God, just give King Darius a case of a tummy ache, man. Don't let him do this to us. God, fix this. God, do something. And it's more griping. But when you notice, Daniel's prayer was not griping or complaining. The scripture says Daniel's prayer was looking at Jerusalem and thanking God. Hey, God, I don't know why I'm here, but I know that someday you're not done with me here, and one day you're going to take me back there. Habit-forming faith is what inspires other people, and it's what works in you and I's life. So you have this habit-forming faith in verse number 10. Picking up in verse number 11, it says this, these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed, and he was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. So, just to catch you up on what happened, they go to the king and they say, King, listen, this guy, Daniel, he's not paying attention to you. I think your decree had something about when people don't listen, they get thrown in the lion's den. I don't know what to tell you, King. Looks like you're going to throw Daniel in the lion's den. And it said that the king, Darius, was distressed because he had an appreciation for Daniel because everything that he had put Daniel in charge of succeeded. And so he came to admire and he came to respect and he came to like Daniel. And so what does he do? If you look at the end of that, at the end of verse number 14, it says that he was distressed. And so he was determined to rescue Daniel, and he made every effort he could to save him until sundown. Sometimes, this unlikely expressions or these unlikely displays of faith only come after we've exhausted ourselves trying to fix it, don't they? Far too often in my life, I'll say this, too often faith comes when I've only exhausted myself trying my way. King Darius is convinced that he can fix this. He can somehow figure out a way where Daniel can still pray to his God, but he doesn't have to throw him in the lion's den. And so he goes and he tries to rack his brain of all the different ways that he can fix this. He can solve this. He can take care of the situation on his own. And a lot of us are the exact same. When something happens in our life, when things go wrong, when something all of a sudden backfires on us, our very first instinct is to exhaust ourselves trying to fix it. How many of you have ever had sleepless nights trying to fix your problems? How many of you have had sleepless nights trying to fix other people's problems? Man, far too often, these expressions of faith only come after we've exhausted ourselves. So King Darius exhausts himself trying to figure out a way, how in the world can he save Daniel? He comes to the conclusion there's nothing else he can do. So now, in picking up in verse number 16, it says this, then the king gave orders to Daniel to be brought in and thrown into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, your God whom you continually serve will himself rescue you. When the king gave orders, have Daniel brought in, the God who you serve will continue to rescue you. And a stone was brought in and placed over the mouth of the den. Now, may not have caught it, but right there was the most unlikely expression of faith. Go back and look at what the king says. He says, the God who you serve, he will rescue you. Now, your translation may say it differently. Your translation may say, may the God whom you serve rescue you. And it has this tone of a question, like, maybe it'll happen. But the best I could trace back, the actual wording there is, your God will rescue you. From the mouth of a foreign king comes the most incredible display of faith. This foreign king has watched Daniel's life, and he is so convinced of the God that Daniel serves is going to care for him. So what does he actually, he makes this profound or this unexpected, this unlikely expression of faith, and he may not know a lot about God, and he actually doesn't even call him God, his God. He says, this is your God, Daniel. I don't understand. I don't know this God personally. I don't have a relationship with him. But I've seen enough in your life that I do know a couple things, which leads him to this unlikely expression of faith. And in this, he has four things that he knows. He knows that God is pleased by consistent, confident faith. If you go back and you look, he says, your God whom you continually serve. His first part of his expression of faith is that the God who you continually serve, God is pleased with consistent, confident faith. The second thing he knows is this, is that God cares about his people. The God whom you continually serve will rescue you because he cares about you, because he has a vested interest in you. Not just that, but your translation hopefully says this, the God whom you continually serve will himself rescue you. Underline that if it's in your Bible. Because here's what that tells you and I, and this is what King Darius, a foreign king, knew about our God. God is personally involved in your life. Listen, I know we sometimes get pictures of God in our head where he's this guy who sits on a cloud with white hair and he's majestic and he watches everything that goes on earth almost like he's watching a TV screen. Maybe not. Maybe that's just my overactive imagination that pictures God like that. Maybe you have never pictured God like that in your life. But here's the falsity in that. That is not at all who God is. God is actively involved and personally invested in each and every one of his followers' lives. God is not absent. He is not distant. He is very present with you in there. And this foreign king even understood that. He understood that God is personally involved with his people because he himself will rescue you. The last thing that King Darius knew is this. Not only is God pleased with constant, consistent faith, he cares about his people and he's personally involved, but God's going to save his people. Listen, we're in Mark on Wednesday nights. Best night of the week is Wednesday nights. Love Wednesday nights. If you're not a part of Wednesday nights, this is your invitation. Come back and join us for Wednesday night because it's wonderful. We're in Mark, and in Mark, we're at the point where Jesus is betrayed and he's getting ready to be crucified. And over and over again, the question that keeps coming up is, how did people not know who he was? How? I mean, like, they watched him do miracles. They watched him do these things. How did his own disciples not get who he was? And the answer is as uncomplicated as it can be. He wasn't who they wanted. It wasn't that they didn't know who he was. It's that he wasn't what they wanted. See, because what they wanted is they wanted somebody to come in and wipe the government away, and he came to save them from their sins. This foreign king knew enough about the heart of our God that he recognized God is going to personally get involved and save his people. Man, that in Baptist churches, we call that a profession of faith. That means, I'm not speaking for this. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole of whether or not Darius is saved or not. I don't know. But that's an expression of someday God's going to send someone to earth to save his people from their sins. Over in Hebrews, that's what's considered unto Abraham as righteousness, was his faith. So this unlikely expression of faith comes from King Darius, and he makes it, and he puts all these things together. And so here's the cool thing, too, picking up in verse number 18, the end of 17. And the stone was brought in and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of his nobles, so that nothing would be changed regarding Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and he spent the night fasting. No entertainment was brought before him and his sleep fled from him. This is the phrase that rang through my head this week. He didn't like it, but he left it there. If you go back and you look, he's in anguish over this. He's in anguish. He's in torment all night. He doesn't want to eat. He doesn't want to have entertainment brought in. He can't sleep. And he anguishes over the decision he just made. And he anguishes over what it means. And he doesn't necessarily like it. But he says, I'm going to leave it there. Listen, a lot of us do this. God, you got to save, man. God, you've got to fix this. You've got to fix this problem. You've got to fix this relationship. God, you have to fix this in my life. And we make such profound declarations of faith that my God can do anything he wants to, and I'm putting it in his hands. And then we go home and we turn the TV on for 5 minutes, and all of a sudden that distraction is not enough. And so we go back and we say, God, but maybe God, I can just fix it if you just let me do this. And we say, no, but I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to trust you. And we go over here and we eat some delicious food because it's Labor Day. And so you have to have a cookout. And so we eat some delicious food. And all of a sudden our belly starts to rumble. We say, well, but God, listen, when you fix it, if you can fix it like this, that would really help me out. But I'm going to leave it up to you, God. I'm going to leave it up to you. I trust you. You've got this figured out. And so we go to bed that night and we lay there in bed and we toss and we turn and we drive ourselves mad with the idea that God's not going to fix it the way I want him to. So I've got to go back and I've got to take it from him. Watch what this foreign king does. He takes it to God and he says, God, only you can do something with this. And I'm so confident that you're going to. I'm going to put my seal on it. I'm going to have everyone around me put their seal on it. And we're going to leave it there. Now, hear me, church. Just because you take it and you leave it there does not mean that you return home and everything is wonderful, peachy keen, and roses. Darius didn't eat. He didn't feel like himself. He didn't sleep good that night. Just because you leave it in God's hands does not mean that all of a sudden you're going to go back and everything's going to be perfect. But the temptation when things aren't perfect and we go back is to go back and pick it up and take it out of his hands. And we can learn a lesson from him. Sometimes sleepless nights are good. Sometimes being sick to our stomach and not wanting life to go back to normal is good. Because it means that you're trusting God with something that is so far beyond you that you don't know what you can fix it. So he makes this remarkable declaration, expression of his faith. He doesn't like it, but he leaves it there. But watch what happens the next morning in verse 19. At first light of dawn, the king got up and he hurried to the lion's den. When he came near to the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lion's den? There's ready expectation in his voice. Up early and out the door. I don't want to put this on you, but I'm going to. Y'all ever get bored in life? I mean, really. You get up tomorrow, it's the same thing you did yesterday. You get up the next day, it's the same thing you did the day before. And life kind of becomes boring and it becomes mundane. And eventually it becomes hard to wake up in the mornings. Can I tell you, if your life is boring, if you're having a difficult time getting up in the morning, take a step of faith. Because see what happens when we make this expression of our faith and we put ourselves out there, we can't wait to see what God does. He gets up and he says, man, listen, I have no clue what I'm going to find, but I've got to get there as fast as I can because this is exciting. If your life is boring, if you're tired of living the same old thing, then do something remarkable and place faith in God to do something in your life and say, God, listen, I don't understand this. I don't get it, but I'm going to give it to you and watch how excited you wake up tomorrow. I wonder what he's going to do. I wonder how he's going to do it. I wonder what God did. It comes, this kind of faith produces in us expectation. Don't get it wrong either. This faith isn't without doubts. Verse number 20, when he came near to the den, he called Daniel in the anguished voice. Daniel, son of the living, or servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lion's den? He's got a little bit less confidence than his first expression, right? His first expression is, Daniel, your God will. Now that he's had a moment to try to sleep on it and he goes back and he starts to worry, his expression changes a little bit. It's, has your God? Look, I don't understand this. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me and I'm not sure how, but I'm hopeful. Man, that's an exciting place to live. An exciting place to live is in the hopeful, but I'm not sure how. Now, I know, look, I'm like you. I want to have every detail of my life planned. Look, I want to know what shoes I'm going to wear in my funeral. And I hopefully am not that close to it. But man, can you imagine every single day of your life? God, I have absolutely no clue what today is going to look like. I have no clue what I'm going to do. I have no clue where I'm going to go. I have no clue who I'm going to have a conversation with. But I'm hopeful today that God, you're going to do something remarkable in my life. God, I'm hopeful today somehow you're going to take my circumstances, the situation, everything that I've been dealing with and going through, and all of a sudden you're going to use it for a way that glorifies you and is for my good. God, man, I know you can do it, and I'm excited to see how it happens. We were talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about being in ministry, and can I tell you that ministry is a very interesting job? I never know from day to day what I'm going to be doing. The most strange call I ever got was I was a minister in Tennessee, and I got a phone call, and they said, hey, are you packing today at work? We'll just say it like that. And I said, well, yes, I am. I always have one in my truck console. Well, you have to go out to camp, and you have to shoot a bear. Okay, let's go. Like, that sounds awesome. What had happened is a bear got sick in the road, and a group of students was going out to the camp, and they couldn't get their buses out there because there was a bear that was sick in the middle of the road, and we got permission from the forestry service to go put it down. And I got to be the one who got to go out there and do it. Now, unfortunately, by the time I got there, the bear had already expired, and I was able just to move him out of the road with some help. But, man, it's exciting because you never know what you're going to get to do. Every single day in my life, I have absolutely no clue what tomorrow is going to look like. I don't know what you're going to go through, and I don't know what I'm going to get to go through with you, but I'm hopeful and excited every single day that in this, God is going to show you and prove to you just how remarkable he is. I have the most exciting job in the world. Forget those people like Boo who jump around oil rigs and walk on little things like this. That man's a cat. Let me just, wow, I watched him climb high and do things that I was not prepared for him to do. He gave me a heart attack. He was hopeful, but he wasn't sure what God was going to do. Part of faith is hope, is hopeful expectation, but also fear because we don't know how. That's the exciting part. It's the hopeful expectation that's mixed with the fear because, God, I trust you with this, but I don't know how you're going to do it. The story goes on and it continues. You pick up in verse number 21. Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed. He gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted out from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And the king's command to the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and their children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. See, the king says, God, Daniel, I have no clue how this is going to happen. And so I'm hopeful, but I don't understand how it's going to happen. And Daniel says, oh, listen, king, I know how it's going to happen. Had it not been for God, it wouldn't have happened. Daniel says, listen, it was a God thing, king. You don't have to worry about it because God is able to do remarkable things. Had it not been for God, this is what would have happened. You ever like read through passages of the Bible and you're like, why in the world did we have to find out that they ate women and children and crushed their bones? Why did you have to put that in there? Here's why. Because it'd be really easy to say, oh, well, Daniel, he was a good lion tamer. He could, and they would like back up and they would like wig out because he was just, you guys know what I'm talking about, the zoo. They crack that little thing and the lions just do what they tell them to do. Daniel was just really good at that. That's all. Or listen, the lions, they just ate. And so their bellies were full. They weren't really hungry for Daniel meat that day. And so when he came down, he ended up just chilling with them because it wasn't a big deal. They weren't really hungry. They weren't feeling it. See, but scripture includes these little details that tell you that these were ferocious lions who do what ferocious lions do when things are introduced into their environment. Had it not been for God, though, that would have happened to Daniel. And so Daniel says to the king, listen, king, I know you're hopeful and I know you're anxious and I know you're scared, but here's the thing. My God can shut the mouths of lions. He can take something that is naturally aggressive and ferocious in its nature, and he can make it go against its nature. And you have conversations with me a lot that say, listen, this person, they're just so mean-spirited. They're just an ugly individual. There's nothing good about this person. How in the world can God do anything like this? Can I tell you that my God can go against nature? Not just animal nature, human nature. God can make people do things that's not in their natural understanding or habit. That's not in their personality. It's not in their liking. Because when God is in the equation, absolutely nothing is impossible. The story goes on and it wraps up like this. Verses 25, it says, King Darius wrote to all the nations and all peoples of every language in all the earth. May you prosper greatly, he said. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered in the reign of King Darius and in the reign of King Cyrus the Persian. I love the way this story ends. This unlikely expression of faith leads to a worldwide declaration. Why? Because even here, the gospel's for everyone. Faith is for everyone. It's not just for religious people who come to church the Sunday before Labor Day that sit in church and do what they're supposed to do. It's not just for lost people who have no clue they're lost. Faith is for everyone. I love it because it says that he sent this letter to every nation, every tongue, every language, every people group, and Darius lays out the gospel. He gives authority to another king besides himself. Some of us can't even give Christ kingship in our life. This unlikely expression of faith was a remarkable feat for a foreign king to do. But it didn't stop with him. This story was spread everywhere in the earth because faith is for everyone. Listen, I don't know where you are in your walk with Christ. Maybe you've been saved for 5 months. Maybe you've been saved for 6 months. Maybe you've been saved for 75 years. I don't know. But here's the thing. You are not done taking steps of faith. There is another step of faith that God has placed before you, and he's waiting for you to hopefully, it's terrified, take that step and say, God, I trust you, but I have no clue how you're going to do this. God, I trust you, but none of this makes sense. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I trust you, and I'm leaving it here with you. And whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. Faith is not just for new Christians. It's not just for old Christians. Faith is for everyone. If you have thought that your walk with faith is at a stopping spot because you're comfortable, because you don't have problems, because life is good, you're missing what God wants you to do. Because he has a next step of faith for you. And he's waiting for you to come trembling before him. Put it in his hands. Say, God, I don't like this, but I'm going to leave it here. And I trust you that you're going to do what only you can do. And tomorrow, I'm going to get to tell everyone around me, look what my God did. He's remarkable. He can do all kinds of things. You can't even begin to scratch the surface of what my God can do. And your life will become a worldwide declaration of faith. Father God, thank you for today. God, I thank you for the unlikely display of faith of this foreign king. God, so many times we read stories like Daniel in the lion's den, and Lord, we're terrified because I don't want to be in the lion's den. And God, we look at Daniel's faith and we say, man, I could never be like that. He just has a different level of faith than I do. But God, in the midst of that story, we're reminded of there's a foreign king. He doesn't even know enough about you to call you his God. But God, he knows enough that he trusts you. And he leaves it there. Father, I pray that our church, our fellowship, Lord, that we as followers of Christ would be individuals whose lives are unlikely expressions of faith. And that God, as we live that life out, other people would notice and we would get to tell them, listen to what my God can do. Lord, I pray that you would just teach all of us through King Darius how to express our faith in you. In Jesus' name we pray.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.